right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. Never forget about Train. You don't want to get caught in the cold. Schedule your system checkup now from a Train comfort specialist. You know you can always count on a Train home comfort system. That's why Train is America's most reliable and trusted brand in HVAC. They're our official heating and cooling partner at Jocks. Visit train.com to find a comfort specialist near you. Remember, it's hard to stop a Train. Stanford Steve, usually with us at 9 o'clock during the season. We want to try to keep that going as much as we can. Steve, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing excellent, boys. I'm actually headed over to Annapolis this morning to see if there's an Alabama helicopter maybe over there. If Coach Saban wants to run the ball, what's a better place to come than the Naval Academy?
Oh, that's a good point.
Okay.
I think triple option's coming to Tuscaloosa. People hate it. It'd be awesome.
You're familiar with Tommy Reese. If this hire is made, you know his work. You know what he's all about. What would you think of him being Alabama's new offensive coordinator?
I really like it, guys. I think, Greg, I think you had Notre Dame, Carolina, and I texted you that week to see if you had met or talked to Tommy Reese before. And I thought I told you you would love him because when you break down what he's about, it goes back like to the fundamentals of offense. When I watch Tommy Reese's offense, they don't have the best talent. They had a below average quarterback when they get stuck with Drew Pine this year. And my favorite thing about them, with everything starting with the run game, and, you know, he got pretty creative with that, is that their best player by far was Michael Mayer. And they continued to find ways when opponents knew that their best player was Michael Mayer and how are they going to get the ball to him. He continued ways to get him the football. And that's the creative sense that I liked about him. You know, when you look at the run game, they do everything you want as far as versatility and create matchups that are advantageous to you on the offense. So I'm a huge Tommy Reese fan. I wanted Stanford to hire him as the head coach. That's how much I think of him because he's got some edge to him. You know, he always was that platooning backup guy. I think that created some edge. And also, you know, if LSU is going to continue to get this hype, I don't think anybody knows that LSU staff better than Tommy Reese. So maybe that could be into the cards for Coach Saban looking at Tommy Reese too. That's more of a benefit for Reese coming to Tuscaloosa. So I absolutely love it.
No, I think it's a good move. I'm supportive for sure. Obviously, there are some question marks, but I have fewer questions at this point than others. When you look at just what he's done in the past, And how he's, I know that he's had Ian Book. I know he had Jack Cohn. And I know this year they were going with Tyler Buckner. Tyler Buckner is obviously a runner. And then he gets hurt early. They put in Drew Pine and it kind of changes who they ultimately try to become. So does this kind of tip the hand if they're going in the direction of Jalen Milroe or Ty Simpson in your eyes by going in this direction with a more prototypical style offense in the past?
I think, Greg, because when you talk about, like, you talk of people, you know, like it's a version of what Coach Saban wants to do when you come to T-Town, right? Like it's going to be, you know, you put your spin on things. And that's what I think you saw with Notre Dame was they had this sense of Tyler Buckner, who was obviously, you saw in the bowl game, has plenty of ability in the quarterback run game. So they had that. But with Pine's not really that guy. But when they had to, they ran Pine, and they were pretty successful. And everybody's going to point to the blow-ups on the phone with Tommy up top and Drew Pine in that game against Cal and down the road. But I think you're looking for a creative sense where Coach Saban knows what he wants to do, but who has a creative sense where we are going to get the ball in the hands of our best players? So that's where I think it's different. And plus, you know, it's a changeup. Now it's a headache for everybody else in the conference to be like, oh man, what's going to happen now with Tommy Reese's spin on Coach Saban and what he wants to do? I think it's a ball breaker. And you know, I go back to, I think what was the, when Jalen Hurts was a freshman, was it the Wisconsin game when they played in Dallas and Coach Saban was like, you know, he wouldn't tip his hand who the starter was going to be, and then Hurts got, you know, basically the whole second half, and he used that to his advantage because the opponent didn't know who was going to be the quarterback. So there's plenty of mind stuff going on. But as far as I don't think they would know who their quarterback's going to be yet. But, you know, will Tommy help break that down? For sure.
Stanford Steve joining us on the Bud Light Hotline, talking college football right now. If Grantham were to be named the DC, what would your thoughts be on that one?
Man, if I'm a linebacker, I'm pumped because I know I'm going to be filling some A-gaps and coming at the quarterback. We know the flavor that he brings to the table. I also think it's a different, you know, it's a different mindset. You know, in all this changeover that has happened when Coach Saban has been there, I think there's parts that, again, with Reese coming in that I just talked about, where it's a ball breaker to the opponent because they don't know how this mix is going to be with Coach Saban. So there's some same philosophies there, but as far as like a down and distance or a tendency, stuff like that, you're going to get something different from Grantham than you would have got from a Pete Golding or a Coach Saban calling that defense. So I can see it happening because end all, Coach is going to have his say over things because he's the head coach, but it would definitely be a different style, probably a more attacking style for sure.
I love it for sure. All right, let's get to what we usually get to with you. Why wouldn't we get into some action this weekend? I know hoops is something that you are very, very strong on. Is there anything jumping out to you early on? I mean, I get the sense that right now is, I mean, I love dogs at this point of every season, whether it's college football, it doesn't matter if it's NFL, like you're at the midway point, can't really see the light at the end of the tunnel. You're seeing letdown after letdown after letdown among some of the best teams in college basketball. So I look at the sense a highly ranked team on the road, take the points all day and twice on Saturday. How we feel about it?
I see. I even go even more so, Greg. I even say if they're like last night, UAB is favored in that game against Florida Atlantic, who's ranked, coming in. They get Jelly back, obviously, but UAB was favored in that game. You have to take UAB, and that's it. It doesn't make any sense for a team with seven losses. I think UAB has five in conference. Earlier in this week, Texas Tech was winless in the Big 12, and they were at home. Iowa to the country, and Texas Tech was giving points, and they overcame a 23-point deficit and won their first Big 12 game of the year against the 13th-ranked team. So, yes, you got to look close. If something looks different to you, just trust it. Blindly take home teams in college hoops. It's the way that the youth is on rosters and guys not going on and playing true road games, you know, we're about the halfway point of the conference season. So, still, all those intricacies, I think, work. Blindly, tomorrow, I still haven't seen the line. And as bad as Carolina has been, I still think North Carolina is a great matchup against Duke. So I would take Carolina in that game against Duke. But I think either team might be a two-point favorite, something like that. But if it's any more than that, I definitely jump on Carolina.
What are your thoughts on this Auburn-Tennessee game, just kind of based on what's been happening? Auburn feels like they're figuring the offense out a little bit. Tennessee just miserable their last time out. Bruce Pearl back in Knoxville. How do you view that one?
Yeah, we saw how good Tennessee could be with Texas coming in last week, Cole, and that might have been their best effort knowing what was at stake, what the talent level was coming in. But Auburn's going to go with their guards, man. It was the same deal last year. If those guards are making shots and taking care of the basketball, they're going to be fine because those things travel on the road. And you need, you know, when you go on the road, you need your guards to create when that shot clock winds down. So Tennessee, I'm sure, will come out with a spirited effort. So I'm interested to see that line, but I would lean towards the home team in that one.
Where are you on the, I guess, the leagues as a whole right now? Like, are you in the camp that the Big 12 is the best? Like, I don't know how you really rate the leagues. What's your opinion on just kind of how everybody stacks up?
Yeah, the Big 12 I do have ranked at the top, guys, just because I think there's more balance. You know, I think before the year, the SEC had the most five stars in a conference. They also have a ton of teams in that conference too. But I think you're going to see the SEC team separate when you get to the tournament. Like, you're in the middle of it now. I mean, you saw Houston last night. The American's not a good conference. They're getting everything they can handle when they go on the road against, say, a Wichita State, because those teams are familiar with them. You know, they know their little adjustments, whether if you want to blitz the point guard or stuff like that. So I think you're going to see Houston just get out. I think they're going to separate themselves. But with the SEC, I think you're going to really see it's all about matchups in the NCAA tournament. There's plenty of good guards, you know, in the SEC. So what's the matchup look like? You know, Kentucky, for example, they've really struggled because they haven't gotten points out of the guard positions. And that's what you need. You need guards to create or make open shots. And I think, you know, we just talked about Auburn. Ziegler for Tennessee, you know, could be that guy. You know, Alabama has a couple guys that are options that can make the three and do things off the dribble. So I think the SEC will have plenty of success in the NCAA tournament. Now, yeah, like I said, when the SEC, or I should say the NCAA tournament, but like the SEC tournament, good luck, man. That's a free for all because numerous teams can win that conference tournament.
All right, Steve, I just want to ask you this quickly because we have a couple of things compressed into the show. The rest of the way through. Have you been a part of our bad basketball box score of the day yet?
I have heard what you brought to the table there. So what do we got for today?
Well, today I think we have an all-timer, and I would like for you to be a part of it just because of that. And I have made that proclamation a couple of times, but today I feel like this could be it. And so I'd like for you to be a part of it. But first we have to bring in the actual intro, which is It's complicated. It's technical, but Damian, bring us in, please. All right.
You don't realize you're in the production business. Like, you don't realize what goes into that.
Yeah, that's a lot of tracks to lay down in the old ENCO system to get that piece together and that
you know the grind
like it does.
That's
you
it. Grind.
I do.
I actually feel like Steve might do better in some of our mascot guessing that we.
Oh, he'd do.
That we,
yeah, I think he'd do actually
Damian's a little bit better.
Damian has to know Lafayette is the Lepers. Come on, Damian.
Well, now he does. Now it's 2 days in a row that we've referenced him. So
it's locked in forever now.
He better have that one. All right, I'm going to throw this one at you, Steve. St. Joseph's Uh-oh. College of Maine. They are the...
Pioneers.
Close, but wrong.
Anyone the Cavaliers.
Else? No.
The Frontiersmen.
They're the Monks.
What?
So close.
You heard me. The Dean College...
Tigers, duh. No, come on now, it's common.
No.
Daddies.
Monarchs.
They are the Bulldogs. We're okay. Both ends of the spectrum there.
All right.
All right. So last night, Steve, St. Joseph's College of Maine, the Monks took out Dean College 82-5.
Wait, 82-5?
Women's Division III basketball, 80 points to 5 points.
Oh, man.
Dean shot 2 of 33 from the floor.
How'd they only get 33 shots off?
0 of 3 from the three-point line. 1 of 6 from the free throw line.
We got to take it to the hoop more. We got to get to the line.
Damian, here you go. Well, for you, Steve, 2 of 33 from the floor. So on those 31 misses, they grabbed... one offensive rebound.
Oh my gosh!
One
they, no,
single
they didn't play
individual
destroyed the program.
Offensive rebound.
No.
They turned the ball over 25 times.
Unacceptable.
Last night.
Zero
now
hustle.
I will not say
have it
that
I am disgusted. Like that is absolutely atrocious.
I'm not going to tell you that St. Joseph's of Maine did not show up. The Monks played pretty good ball. 29 of 58 from the floor. 11 of 28 from the 3-point line, 11 to 16 from the free throw line.
Well, they were hot. You know,
out rebounded the Bulldogs 45 to 16.
They shouldn't even got off the bus.
Last night, two players scored a bucket for the Dean Bulldogs last night, and you had seven different players go over on that basketball team last night, Steve. 82-5. I do not believe we're going to do better than this in our bad basketball box score of the day. That's a non-high school basketball box score.
It's a bad one.
That was awful. That's awful.
I was going to say, did you get that one on the front page of ESPN.com? Is that where you got that one?
That one did not show up there. I had to do some digging to find this one, and I came across it, and I knew everyone would enjoy it.
That is a bad one there.
All right.
Also, just finally, on this bad basketball box score of the day, I thought I would offer you score by quarter for Dean. That was 2-0, 2-1
One.
But they scored more in the second half, though, so there are signs of improvement.
That means they're rolling. That
means they got a good coach.
Wonderful.
Second half team.
That's it. That's it.
I love that.
Dean is 0-19, 0-14 in the Great Northeast Conference this year. So they're not off to a very good start. So there you go.
Are you disappointed?
No, I thought it lived up to it. I did.
Wow.
From the production to the end, I thought it brought it, and I was glad to be a part of it, Greg.
It is.
Yes, sir.
It's what Greg, the people want.
You know, you love those deep dives better than anybody.
Yeah. I like some of them more than others. When it's 80-5, it almost hurts me. It almost hurts me to think just what those
they're not hustling.
Kids' parents were thinking. Like,
I wish my child would hustle.
All my time in the gym with my daughter,
right?
And this is what it led to. All the time I put into it, all the work that she put into it, and this is where it leads us to an 80-5 drubbing. That just makes me sad. Like some, I'm like, okay, really that's just a tough day. Bowl? I'm sorry.
You got an early lean on the Super Bowl?
Come on, you know I do. Come on, you know that. Come on. Absolutely. Do I have an early lean on the Super Bowl? Yes. I like, right now, the Kansas City Chiefs. It feels public, though. I'm not going to lie. It feels public.
We know you hate that.
Yeah, going against the Bama quarterback. Unbelievable.
Unreal. Oklahoma quarterback, you mean.
Oh, don't do it.
Please, Steve, don't. Great.
I'll pray for you guys for saying that. Well, I'll pray for Cole. Steve said it right.
Listen, Greg's the one who's been talking about wanting to run the ball again. So,
imagine that. I personally think that running the ball is a good reflection of the toughness of the team.
We're going to find out. Steve, great stuff, man. We always appreciate it. And hopefully we get you back next week. We will talk more Super Bowl then.
Super Bowl.
All right. Sounds good, boys. Have a great weekend.
There he is, Stanford Steve, joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste. When there's fun, Bud Light is there. It's always fun when you can see better. That's why Dr. Mark Michelson has made my life more fun, because I went to see him over 20 years ago. I called 205-969-8100, set up a free consultation, found out I was a candidate for the LASIK procedure, and then walked in. My vision was, I was legally blind, walked out, felt like it was perfect. Feel like it's still perfect over 20 years later. Now, Dr. Jennifer Michelson joins his practice right there at UAB Highlands, offering comfortable and convenient care. Listen, when you select Michelson Laser Vision for your treatment, the cost you're quoted for treatment, that's what you're going to pay for everything. Surgery, recovery, all your post-op visits. There are no add-ons, no hidden fees, and a variety of easy and affordable payment plans. So you can call today, 205-969-8100, set up a free consultation, or visit MichelsonLaserVision.com for more information. Get to a break, come back, and we are talking the power of Pink Night in Coleman Coliseum next on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Welcome back to McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. Great show so far. 9:24 here on a Friday, February 3rd. Big night in the Iron Bowl of gymnastics. He's mad now.
It's not called that.
Yes.
I know it's not called that, but I like pressing that. Your buttons. It gets you revved up, and that's what gets me excited. Another thing that gets me revved up is going to Bill Smith Buick GMC. I can go up there and check out all the unbelievable deals on their lot right now. They have better selection than anybody. And it's just a short drive up to Coleman, right up I-65, Highway 31. Back-to-back dealer of the year for both Buick and for GMC. And they're going to make sure that they take care of you. Like a brand new 2023 GMC 2500 4x4 with the SLT. This thing's loaded. Loaded. It's a sunroof. 6.6 liter Duramax turbo diesel. 9,000 below list price. 9,000 on a GMC 2500 4x4 SLT. It's ridiculous. That's how you stay atop the business for as long as it gets. Andy Cole and Jonathan Yeager, 75% of their business repeat customers because they have a better experience when you shop with Bill Smith Buick GMC. They're right up there off I-65, or you can shop online at BillSmithBuickGMC.com. We welcome in Ashley Priest Johnson now, by the way. And she's Ashley Priest to me. She is one of my favorite Alabama athletes ever. And she now returns to lead the gymnastics program. Ashley, you guys have gotten off to a great start. How are things going right now?
Thanks so much. Wow, what an intro. You took the words right out of my mouth, Greg. You were one of my all-time favorite Alabama athletes, so I appreciate that. And we're just really excited. The team has been doing great so far. We continue to just build and stay in the process, and tonight's going to be a big night for us with the Iron Bowl of gymnastics.
Well, it's the Power of Peak meet, and it's obviously one, it's an incredible experience for anybody that hasn't been. You're going to sell it out. It's obviously a great rivalry, but explain to me some of your favorite experiences having competed in this event, because it's going to be rocking in Coleman tonight.
It is. You know, we're expecting just over 13,000 people, you know, selling the place out. This is a big reason why our Alabama athletes come here. You know, they want to compete in front of that many people who are just so invested and excited about what they're doing. But, you know, when I look back, when I competed in the Power of Pink meet, you know, I first remember driving into Coleman Coliseum and seeing the outside pink light just shining, radiating over Coleman Coliseum. It's just the most magical sight. And then going through warm-ups, getting into that pre-meet routine, I just remember walking out onto that Alabama A with my arm, just arm in arm with a breast cancer survivor, and being able to hear that person's name announced and just celebrate the journey, the fight, the battle that that person has gone through. Like, that to me is just one of the most special and memorable moments for me, knowing that I was competing for something more than myself. Like, I was competing for that person that was standing right next to me, and the fight that she was going through, had won, and continued to just go through every day.
It's going to be a special night. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Power of Pink night at Coleman Coliseum tonight, Auburn, Alabama in gymnastics. Ashley, I'm interested in previously being a part of Coach Graba's staff. What advantages that could give you, or what maybe how that changes your approach for your squad tonight?
Yeah, you know what's funny is even though I did spend my last 4 years with the Auburn staff, there's no offense and defense in gymnastics. So as much as I would like for that to give me an edge, you know, there's really nothing I can do to use the playbook of somebody else to change our approach. You know, so for us, we really just have to stay invested in our process, focus on the little details that allow us to have the best outcome possible. And so that's where our mindset is right now.
When you've obviously Sarah Patterson and what we've seen historically from Alabama gymnastics, I'm not going to bring it up necessarily because Coach Grob is on the line. He can hear everything that we're saying. But we won how many in a row? Was it like 110 there for a period of time?
I don't feel like you did one tumble.
I'm just trying to remember.
There was not one beam event that you competed in.
First of all, I went to the gymnastics meets, and I held my breath every time because it was the most stressful event I've ever been to, especially the beam at that point, extremely stressful. And that happens to be where all the students sat, so it was even more stressful. We were right there. So how many in a row did we win, Ashley? Remind me.
You know, it was quite a few. Considering Jeff is on the line, you know, I won't say that number, but it was quite a few. And we did actually add some student seating over there by Beam this season. So, you know, it's 4 inches up there. I mean, they make it look easy, but if anybody's ever actually stood up there on a 4-inch balance beam, you realize that that is no easy thing right there. So when the opposing team has to end on beam and it's hopefully a neck and neck close competition, that's where I'm really counting on our our fans to really hype up the atmosphere, make it that electric feel that all these athletes just really thrive in.
I did it in a segment for SEC Nation 2 years ago at LSU, and I got up there. I barely got up there to begin with, and just immediately said, "You've got to be kidding me!" Like there's no way. Ashley, I want to leave you with this. Since you are such a big fan of Greg McElroy as an athlete, what event do you think he would be best at in gymnastics?
Oh, gosh. You know,
it's an easy one. This would be easy because I have no chance on beam, 0%. No chance on vault because if you think I'm crazy enough to run
100%. But you can dunk. You told us that.
But that's not, if you think I'm going to run 100% of something that's stationary, that ain't happening. And I don't know if I have the grip strength anymore to do parallel bars, like, or unparallel bars. Like, I got floor.
Quarterback, you had to like read your plays, right? Like as a quarterback, you had to like know your angles, know your routes. And I feel like that's kind of like bars. Like bars is all about angles and like precision and kind of seeing what's going to happen a couple steps ahead of time. So I don't know. I think the uneven bars might be your event.
Well, I appreciate the I appreciate the optimism. I'm not going to share it with you, but Ashley, it's been awesome watching your team. Friday Night Heights has been phenomenal. It was with some people with the SEC last week. It's a great opportunity every week for your team to showcase what they can do. I know you're not on Friday Night Heights every single week, but I know this is a big opportunity for your girls tonight. So what has been the message to them as you lead up to one of the most highly anticipated meets of the year?
Yeah, this week, you know, we are playing to win. And I don't mean winning the meet. I mean winning the moment and winning the thought process and winning how you're going to respond, you know, if adversity hits. We've really focused on how we're approaching each routine and how we're responding to each routine in order to just build the momentum and add energy into the overall team feel. And so that's really how we're staying in the process. It's just playing to win each moment and just taking it step by step throughout the meet.
Ashley, thank you so much for the time today. I would wish you best of luck tonight, but
do you have any messages that you would like
Auburn
to?
The Auburn head coach is waiting to join the show, so yes. I'm not allowed to do that.
Well, I would really like for you to tell.
Hope everyone stays safe.
Would like for you to tell the Auburn contingent on the show, both on the line and in studio, Ashley, just your thoughts about how you're going to dominate tonight, if you don't mind.
You know, that Auburn team is talented, right? The Olympic gold medalist is coming into Coleman Coliseum, but I have to say, I'm counting on our fans. I'm counting on, you know, our team has to bring their A game. You know, we've got to execute well. We've got to really pay attention to the little details that help us have a great meet. And I'm counting on our fans and that Coleman Coliseum to just be rocking and just add to that electric atmosphere. And I'm really excited to be a part of a great matchup, a historic night. It's the first time that we've sold Coleman Coliseum out since 2014. And so this is going to be a really special night. It's the first time our ladies have been able to compete in front of that type of crowd. And so I'm expecting it to be a great matchup and can't wait to see everybody there.
Ashley, thanks for joining us. Awesome that you guys are having this Power Pink night there at Coleman, and look forward to having you back again soon.
Thanks so much. Roll Tide.
You too. Ashley Johnson joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. We'll go right to Jeff Graba, head coach of the Auburn gymnastics team. Coach, I know this is a big one. I know it means a lot. Ashley mentioned the fans that are going to be in attendance. I know at least one 7-year-old that'll be there watching in orange and blue. That'll be my daughter who's attending tonight. She's excited to go see Suni Lee and the Auburn gymnastics team again. But I just wanted to get your thoughts mentally, emotionally, heading into this with everything that's involved. Auburn has not won a gymnastics meet in Coleman Coliseum. Do you change your approach? Do you have a different conversation with your girls heading into tonight?
No, I think Ashley hit the nail on the head. We got to go. I think to win big meets like this, actually just to compete well in big meets like this, it's all about controlling the controllables. You have to go back to yourself, control your environment. We call it our bubble, stay in our bubble. And usually when we do that, we come out on top. So we got to give ourselves the best chance at winning. And I'll point out too. Yeah, you're right. We haven't won in Coleman Coliseum, but we're not the only team in the country. I'd say majority of the teams in the country can't say they've won in Coleman Coliseum, especially when they sell the place out. It's quite an advantage.
Yeah, Jeff, I know we have fun with it, and it's all in good fun. Cole and I have good bant. I would imagine you and Ashley probably do as well. But knowing that you're going into what we would consider to be a remarkably hostile environment, I know you say control the controllables. I mean, the beam is 4 inches wide in Auburn as well, right? But have you ever noticed anything different about going into someone else's venue in your sport in particular?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think especially in the SEC, every venue in the SEC has its flavor. And I think the reason SEC gymnastics is the pinnacle of gymnastics in the NCAA is because, you know, we sharpen each other. When we go into these arenas, we get better. Win, lose, or draw, you get better because you have to make it through. And we tell our girls, you know, this is one of the premier programs in the country going into one of the other premier programs in the country. This is what these athletes sign up for. They want to be a part of something special. And you know as well as anybody, the big moments, that's where you really test yourself. That's where you find out what you're made of, and then you can make adjustments. You know, this is early in the season, so, you know, I love the test that this gives us.
Jeff Graba, Auburn gymnastics coach, joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. And coach, one thing that a lot of folks get extremely excited to see with your team is Darian Goborn's floor routine. And it gets everybody on their feet. Everybody gets excited. I just need to know from you, from a coaching perspective, how involved you are with her selecting exactly what she's going to do, the music, the routine, the moves. How much of this came from you? I need to know.
You really need to know that, huh? Well, each year she's been with me, less of her routine has come from me, and that's getting better each year. So I think that should that should tell you how involved I should be in floor choreography. So, you know, a lot of it's just mapping it out. Her brother's phenomenal. He's a phenomenal talent, phenomenal artist. I think, Ashley and I, a couple years ago, we both embraced the fact, we pulled Darian aside and had a good conversation, the three of us, about, we think your brother ought to choreograph for you. And he cuts music, he does all that stuff. So it's almost been her project the last couple of years, and it's getting better and better. It's such a treat to watch on our team. And I love it that everybody else is you know, waiting to see the queen.
It's so awesome. And when you think about just how much, obviously, Suni Lee signing up to play at Auburn, it was internationally relevant, obviously, and her carrying it over, and obviously she's going back to, you know, Olympic training, this being her final go round. You know, what has she meant to the program in general, and really to the athletic department in general, as far as just brand awareness, not just here in the United States, but globally?
I think it's to me, it's hard to quantify what she's done for young women in our sport. Young female athletes in the NCAA. She's brought a huge awareness to NCAA gymnastics, and I think it's bled over into other sports. Our athletic department, the university, I think it's just, it's been a special thing to be a part of. It's never been done before. I'm not sure it's ever going to be done again. She didn't have to do it. She's breaking the mold, so to speak, and I love the fact that she's breaking the mold here. She chose Auburn to do it, and part of the reason she chose Auburn to do it is, in our sport of gymnastics, you guys were referring to all the losses the streak that we ended up breaking a few years back. Some people love the underdog. Some people love the team that's got to fight and conquer, you know, overcome a little bit. That's a little bit of Suni's story. And I just love the fact that she's sharing it with us. And I think it's making all of us pay a little bit more attention to women's sports.
Jeff, I'm interested in the challenges that come with, because watching some gymnastics and kind of trying to keep up with it now more than ever, the last couple of years, there are things that she will be able to do from an Olympic perspective that she's not necessarily allowed to do at the collegiate level. What's the difficulty in crossover there from a training perspective for you and for her?
Time is a difficulty. We're trying to balance that out. You know, you got to balance school. You got to balance all her NIL opportunities. You got to balance training for just the NCAA season, which can be a grueling season. And then she's also training some upgrade skills for, you know, her run back to the Olympics. It's actually a good partnership. Her Olympic coach is my brother, my twin brother. So if we can't figure out how to communicate, we've got big problems. So we're doing a better job of, you know, trying to, I get on his bad side. We argue a lot, but that's pretty normal for our coaching business. I think the biggest thing is she's doing more in the NCAA routine than is necessary. And so therefore she's taking more risk and giving more opportunity for deduction. And I do think it hurts her scoring wise periodically in our NCAA season. But if we don't do it, we could be putting her behind as she makes a comeback for the world championships this fall and then ultimately going for the Olympic team next year. So, you know, we're trying to balance it. She's doing a little bit more extra difficulty that maybe she's not getting rewarded for. But it is a treat for the fans. It's stress testing her future routines. We actually get to see my brother and I and Allie Lim, her other Olympic coach. We communicate quite a bit about, you know, how did it go? Where are the problems? It's really a cool area. It's better than training. You get to put it out there and see what happens. So I think it's benefiting both sides.
And finally for me, Coach, I think Cole might have another one. Just out of sheer curiosity, obviously you try to be at your best all the time, right? There's no denying that. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious in your sport. It's a sport that I don't know a whole... I'm thoroughly entertained by and was supportive of Bama Gymnastics when I was in school, went to meets, loved it, thought it was a great, great, great sport and really enjoyed just how it was set up and the meets were handled and everything. But out of curiosity, do you try to peak at the end of the year? Is it like one of those, hey, we want to ramp up, we want to save our best stuff for when we get around NCAAs or SECs or when you eventually get the chance to go to the final six or whatnot? Do you ever just try to keep some things maybe in your holster waiting until those days and those bigger meets and those bigger opportunities come?
Yeah, I think you're hitting the nail on the head there too. You know, you had asked Ashley if there's any advantage to me being, to her knowing my system or something like that. I think the systems are built for that. You have two options. You can try to win early or you can try to win late. And, obviously with the postseason being late, it's a better option to try to win late. If you try to win early, you can break your horses on the way, you know, to the end, to the finish line. So, to me, it's more about management. You can have some stuff in the holster, you know, like you say, you can hold it back. But you do have to test it out there in live action. I think the main thing is resting people periodically, maybe being smart about training plans, making sure that we have to be our best in March and April. And if your best athletes are on the bench because they're injured, they're not really able to help your team. So you got to be really careful. You don't try too hard in January and February and sacrifice March or April and therefore end up ruining a team that you could have had a better plan for. I think that's the biggest test that gymnastics coaches face over some of the tactical decisions that other sports are making, you know, in-game decisions.
All right, Coach Grava. So my actual last question is kind of along those lines, but I want to dial in just a little bit more. I want to compress that a little bit. One thing that for me that is difficult to follow and maybe a little confusing or frustrating at times with the gymnastics matches is real-time scoring. Now, being there in person, it's a little bit different. Still sometimes lags a little bit behind. Watching on television is very frustrating because you hear the things that are happening in other spots on the floor, but you're obviously not seeing them. How much do you alter maybe a routine or what you ask one of your gymnasts to do based on the score? Does anything change based on if you're behind by just a little bit or if you're ahead? Anything like that at all? And how do you manage the real-time scoring based on how much is happening essentially at the same time?
Yeah, early in the season, I don't pay attention to the to that as much. We're more paying attention to the performance and scoring potential. As you get later in the season, for us, regular season is about postseason ranking. So it's all about scores. Wins and losses don't mean anything during the regular season. Scores mean everything. And then everything flips when you get into the postseason, and it's all about survival, winning and advancing through the postseason bracket. So you got to learn that in the postseason, you're absolutely right. You might be watching the score and making a change at the last minute because you're ahead by a tenth or you need an extra tenth. Put it back to like football. There are some lower percentage plays that are always in your playbook
yep.
that you're not going to use in the first quarter. Or you're not going to use in January. You're going to put some stuff in your pocket for the very end. But that means you have to have that in your pocket. You do have to practice that. And I hope it never comes to play that we have to do a Hail Mary, but once in a while you do have to do one.
It's really cool. Coach, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Best of luck tonight. I know my 7-year-old will be there rooting you guys on. So it's going to be a fun night there in Coleman.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys. War Eagle.
War Eagle. Appreciate Jeff Kraba, Auburn gymnastics coach, joining us. Power of Pink night tonight, Coleman Coliseum. As Ashley Johnson told us, first sellout there since 2014. It's going to be an exciting night. It's going to be a lot of fun. And appreciate both coaches taking a little bit of time to join in and preview it with us.
Family Care Dental is the place where you can get things taken care of immediately. Immediately. Right now, you can get in there same day where it's routine or an emergency situation. Family Care Dental is here to serve you in one of three locations, Hoover, Fultondale, and Homewood. They're accepting patients of all ages, like I said, for emergencies or routine dental appointments. Most insurance plans are accepted, and they can see you on Fridays and Saturdays. It's Family Care Dental, 874-9605. It's 874-9605.
All right, back with our Super Sofa Game of the Week next on Mac and Cube in the Morning.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning, 9:51 a.m., Friday, February 3rd, right here on Jocks 94.5.
Benjamin Franklin Plumbing is the punctual plumber. They're going to tell you the window that they're going to arrive in, and they are going to be there because your time is money. You'll get paid if they arrive outside the window with multiple master plumbers on staff. They're going to make sure that you are taken care of. They're all licensed, insured, drug tested, you name it. They're all masters, so you're going to absolutely love these guys when they come to your house. And right now you get $250 off any water heater installed and purchased through Benjamin Franklin Plumbing. So call the punctual plumber today at 982-7775. That's 982-7775.
We get to it each and every Friday. It's our TD's Fine Furniture Super Sofa Game of the Weekend. We get to pick one game that you're going to watch over the weekend. And you decide. You can tweet yours in at Mac and Cube. We all give you ours. You can head to TD's Fine Furniture. Get your super sofa. We love ours in the Mac and Cube office. Tons of sofas, chairs, recliners, plus any furniture for the home. Find 300 different brands. Plus, they buy in bulk to sell to you for less at TD's Fine Furniture in Summerton. For me, I'm going Auburn at Tennessee in basketball tomorrow, number 25 at number 2. Auburn coming off a nice win against Georgia. Tennessee obviously coming off an ugly loss. Interested to see what Bruce Pearl going back to Knoxville and his group can do against a Tennessee team that struggled their last time out.
All right. I'm not against that one. I'm actually going to go and keep it in the state. I'm going Alabama and Auburn tonight. Power of Pink Meat Friday night. Heights on SEC Network. You can watch it. It's going to be a sold out Coleman Coliseum, over 13,000 people on hand for what is such a cool event. And it's the one opportunity that Suni Lee has a chance to go to Coleman. She's going to take the L. You got number 6, wow, Auburn against number 11, Alabama overall. So it should be an awesome meet, and it should be really cool to support, obviously, a phenomenal cause in breast cancer awareness.
D?
I'm going with the barn, too, man. I'm going Auburn and Tennessee tomorrow at 1 o'clock on the hardwood. Auburn, Tennessee has been struggling this week with the loss in Florida. Auburn started turning some things around as we get closer to SEC tournament and also March Madness, man. So we want to see which one of these oranges are going to turn it around. And that's my TD's Fine Furniture Super Sofa Game of the Weekend.
All right. So you can get your super sofa at TD's Fine Furniture in Summerton. You guys hear me talk about them each and every day. Underdog Fantasy, easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Your fantasy football leagues might be over, but you can still play fantasy games and win cash prizes on Underdog Fantasy. Like the Pick'em game, where you go pick between 2 and 5 players to build a pick'em entry. You can win up to 20 times your money in a single playoff game. Pick whether your favorite players are going to have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. Visit UnderdogFantasy.com today or find them in your app store like I do. Just search Underdog Fantasy, and when you do, enter promo code MC945 and you'll get your first deposit doubled up to $100. UnderdogFantasy.com today or find them in the App Store. Promo code MC945. First deposit is going to be doubled up to $100. Must be 19 and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. One piece of information from Pete Thamel that we missed today. He says that negotiations have broken down and that there will be no early exit for Texas and Oklahoma into the SEC in 2024, that has stalled at this point, likely to come to fruition, G-Mac.
Kind of disappointing, right? I mean, never like lame duck situations, but it sounds as though the Big 12 is digging in. I get it. They're probably looking at it like, well, these teams go to Texas and they don't get a return home game. You know, same thing with Oklahoma. So I'm sure that probably had something to do with it.
We'll keep you posted on that one. So it looks like 2025 for Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC. We're back Monday. Three Man Front is next.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.